Hey everybody, this is Jeff Reynolds with a bonus segment of the Behind the Curtain podcast. Now this is a little bit different format than normal, and so I wanted to bring this to you because it's really important information, but it is off schedule, it's a different format, but really timely information, really troubling stuff coming from my guest, who is Kim Sordill, the former member of Dennis Richardson's staff, who was the designee for the Department of Education at the state level to represent the Secretary of State's office. She resigned on Friday the 12th because she was troubled by what was happening in the office. As you know, Dennis Richardson passed away suddenly and was replaced by Bev Clarno, an appointment by Kate Brown. And Kim has a lot to say about this. And so I wanted to bring this to you, even though it's, like I said, it's a little bit different format, it's a little bit off schedule, but it's really timely and important. Also, a quick note about the audio quality. I was at the Dorchester Conference at the Resort at the Mountain on Saturday with a really choppy signal. So my data was rough. There was also a lot of background noise. So I faced a lot of challenges in putting this interview together. And I've cleaned up as much of it as I could, but I wanted to make sure you are aware of it. Just ask for your patience while you're listening to this, because really important information coming out, and I wanted to get this out. So I cleaned it up as much as I could, but just be patient. And so now, this is Kim Sordill, the former representative of the Secretary of State's office, to talk about why she resigned on Friday the 12th.
All right. Welcome into the Oregon segment of the Behind the Curtain podcast with Jeff Reynolds. My guest today is Kim Sordill, who was formerly the designee of the Secretary of State's office to the Board of Education of Oregon. She resigned on Friday the 12th, and she's here with me to discuss that. Welcome in, Kim.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you coming on. I know this is been a whirlwind couple of weeks with staffing changes in the Secretary of State's office after the funeral of Dennis Richardson and Bev Clarno taking over as Secretary of State. So let's jump right into it. Why did you resign from the position in the office there?
I didn't feel that I could continue to serve under someone who I had no respect for. She came in and her first order of concern was how she could get her son hired, and she fired people who were at the top level who were great performers without ever even being hired. And then she fired the only person of color, Larry Morgan, on Friday, without ever meeting with him either, and I decided that it was time for me to leave.
So the argument has been made, because I wrote an article about this for PJ Media, and I actually reached out to the Secretary of State's office for a comment, and they gave me a curt one-line response saying that the new secretary wants to shape her own executive team. What are your objections to the way that it's been done?
Well, first of all, the executive team that was there was doing an outstanding job. They were the only oversight that we had in Oregon, other than investigative reporters. And for her to not even meet with them and discuss her own goals and see if they could fit in with those goals, I think was short-sighted and mean-spirited and unprofessional.
So the big concern, of course, among lots of folks that are observing the situation is that Kate Brown has her own handpicked predecessor to somebody who was kind of causing her a lot of embarrassment with the audit division, and the fear is that she picks somebody who's not going to be as aggressive in the audit process. Do you think that's a fair criticism?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. She's not going to pick someone who's going to continue to expose her wrongdoing. So this is bad for not only the people who are no longer in the office, but it's bad for Oregonians.
Yeah. So I'm here at the Dorchester Political Conference, and I ran into Jonathan Lockwood. He's pointed out a few things with the foster care system that was under audit that was really damaging to Kate Brown. I talk a little bit about that situation with what's going on with the kids, and you know, you also have been an activist trying to bulldog Portland Public Schools to try to be more transparent in their dealings. What are they doing to Oregon's children?
Oregon's children are not a priority to the legislature or to the governor. And it shows through these audits that they are allowing children to be abused. They're not getting the education they deserve. Their health is compromised. Their safety is compromised. And Kate Brown doesn't seem to care until she gets either exposed by an audit or the press, and the only thing she will do is terminate the top person and carry on her way. So there really needs to be a culture shift, and I don't know if we can get that done without getting a new governor, but people need to know what's going on so that they can vote accordingly.
And to be clear, you're a registered Democrat, right?
I'm a lifelong Democrat, yes.
Yeah, and so you generally support the Democratic Party platform, and you agree with their stance on social and fiscal issues. But you're motivated to see, if I may, you know, you can confirm or deny this, but it seems like you're motivated to see good government, transparent government, and efficiently run government that doesn't put our children at risk. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I think absolute power will corrupt any party, and what we've had is absolute power in Oregon, and Democrat adults taking care of other Democrat adults and allowing children and our most vulnerable to be harmed, and nobody seems to care. As long as someone's got a D behind their name, they can do whatever they want, and children are literally dying because of it.
Yeah, expand on that. Children are dying. Children are being abused in the public schools. You've uncovered a lot of that stuff, haven't you?
Yes, with the help of investigative reporters and auditors. I couldn't do any of this without their help. And so to see that being shut down by Kate Brown, it's troubling and it's scary.
Give us some examples of what you've uncovered.
Oh, boy. You know, I've been at this for 7 or 8 years now, and initially I got involved because there was a teacher at my son's elementary school who was abusing students to the point that they were getting sick, they were having panic attacks, they were developing medical issues, and I got involved because I wanted it fixed, and I thought, well, geez, we just need to go to the principal.
Yeah,
and I realized
it's simple, right?
All the way to the school board, the adults were banding together to hide child abuse. And it wasn't just this one instance. It was new. And I think one of the most public and disgusting ones was 30 years of Mitch Whitehurst sexually abusing and sexually harassing students.
Yeah, that was a big story in the Oregonian, and it seems like it left an impact, but I'm not sure that anything's been done. In fact, he's been shuttled around and protected, hasn't he?
You know, he lost his license, his teaching license, but he just had his record expunged a few weeks ago.
You're kidding. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he's got a clean slate now.
Oh, my God.
He's driving for Uber, which, and I saw him last night at a bar downtown, a hotel bar downtown Portland, dressed to the nines and scoping out the scene. And, I mean, that's just a recipe for disaster for a guy like that to be driving for Uber and, you know, exposed to women who have had a few drinks and who knows what he's going to do.
Oh, my God.
And
that's
in terms
amazing.
Of what the school board has done, nothing. They have allowed the teachers' union to keep the same provisions in their contract that allow for personnel files to be scrubbed every time a teacher gets a new principal or moves to a different school.
So I'll let you in on this. I don't know, you probably didn't catch this, but last week I interviewed Rebecca Friedrichs for my podcast, who was Friedrichs versus the CTA, the Supreme Court case that was going to decide agency fees for public unions. But the untimely death of Antonin Scalia left it at a 4-4 tied vote. And she talked about when she first started it as a first grade teacher 30 years ago, this teacher next door to her classroom who was physically abusing the kids and emotionally abusing them and yelling at them and shaking them and all this stuff. And she couldn't get anything done because the union blocked any discipline of her and defended her.
Yes, that's still happening today. In fact, what hasn't been in the news, you can scoop it, is there was a paraeducator who was accused and tried for molesting a disabled child.
Oh, God.
He had a bench trial and got off. Same judge that just let off Charles McGee for raping Erica Otto Campbell.
And, oh, wow. Yeah, the same guy, huh?
Same guy. And so this paraeducator, the parents of the child sued Portland Public Schools. They gave them a six-figure settlement because they knew he did it.
Right.
And he recently had his union file a complaint and went to arbitration. Lauren Ash, who was growing up for Portland Public Schools for years, unfortunately was hired to oppose this guy being returned to work, and they lost. So this child molester is going to be back in our schools very soon.
So he actually, the school district paid out a settlement based on his abuse, and he's still in the school teaching.
He will be right back in. He's a paraeducator, so he won't be teaching. He'll be working with disabled children.
Oh, my God.
Children with special needs, the most vulnerable. He's going to be back in there. His father was the Lincoln High School principal. That's, I'm pretty sure, how he got the job.
Wow, wow. And then we just saw, I learned of this from your Facebook page, the custodian from Madison High School, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, who was arrested with thousands and thousands of images of child porn. I got to ask you, how rampant is this child porn and sex abuse problem in our schools?
It's reported daily, and it's frustrating because when we tried to do something about this after Mitch Whitehurst was caught, Margaret Doherty, who is a Democrat House Education Committee chair and teachers union proponent, said that sex abuse of kids and abuse of kids isn't really a problem. So we don't need any new legislation to protect kids.
Wow.
Every single day you can see that teachers are abusing children.
Oh, my God.
And we don't even know the extent of it because the unions join forces with administrators to hide it.
And I was told by all of the national people on the Kavanaugh hearings and everything else that we're supposed to believe all victims, right?
No, I don't think we're supposed to believe all victims. Absolutely not. I think what happens is if there's a complaint or if you see something, there needs to be an independent and thorough outside investigation. And if they find that something, that there has been abuse, we need to take prompt remedial action, but that's not happening. I've seen Portland Public Schools again and again hire outside investigators who are known to engage in cover-ups for the district. Or they just bury it. Or they tell the kid, oh, you must have, you know, misunderstood. What I mean, we've seen all kinds of ways that administrators and teachers unions can bury child abuse.
Yeah, why? I mean, why do they continue to protect these people?
Well, for the unions, they feel it's their job, solidarity, and they're going to protect their union members no matter what they do. And for administrators, it's easier to sweep it under the rug than actually do something about it. And I think the number one problem, Oregonians do not value children.
You're talking all the voters, all the you're saying Oregonians. That's a pretty wide brush.
I would say Oregonian, the leadership, legislature, the governor, the people in power in school districts, and we keep voting for them. So whose fault is it?
Well, and that's a very good question, because you know, we saw the Mitch Whitehurst thing only because some reporter dug into it, but we never hear any of the other stuff that goes on, and it always comes as a shock when the police announce they've arrested somebody, but we don't. I mean, it seems there's a lot of forces that are conspiring to keep all of this stuff secret.
Yes.
That's amazing.
It's bad and it's disgusting, and I feel for our kids. I don't understand why it's so important for these adults to protect and pave a way and have contract clauses and laws that help these people continue to abuse kids. And
that's
one
amazing.
Other thing that the legislature put in place is such a short statute of limitations and procedural hurdles so that children who have been abused can't file lawsuits.
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. Is why is the statute of limitations? I don't even know. Is it 2 years? Is it 5 years?
Yes, but they also put in place this thing where you have to file a tort claims notice within 180 days of the abuse. If
you're
you
kidding.
Do that, then you can't even file a lawsuit, even if it's within the statute of limitations.
Oh my God, really? I didn't even know that.
Yes, it's. If you're suing any public agency in Oregon, you have to file a tort claims notice within 180 days. People are still in shock and recovering within 180 days of abuse.
Right.
I mean, the legislature has said the rationale for it is specifically to prevent public agencies from incurring liability.
Wow. So they're setting up two sets of rules for the private sector and the public sector.
Yes.
That's not equal protection under the law as prescribed in the Constitution.
Well, that's a different... I think equal protection more about victims' rights.
Or equal application of the law, right?
Right. I mean, public employees get to rape children, period. They get to abuse children. And the legislature, our state legislature, has made it that way.
So
sexual harassment of women, those women in the legislature who were sexually harassed.
Right.
Women who are sexually harassed, you know, any public agency. They've got 180 days to file it.
That's unbelievable. That's absolutely amazing. So somebody who has been recently traumatized is now put under pressure by the legal system to put up or shut up. How does that encourage victims to come forward?
It doesn't, and they don't want them to come forward. And I'm really tired of all of this, everyone just applauding that we have so many women in high office now. Well, these very women are screwing over our children and other women.
So you're talking about Kate Brown, you're talking about Bev Clarno, you're talking about the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, you're talking about Ellen Rosenblum.
I'm talking about City Council. I'm talking about Multnomah County Democrats or Multnomah County Commissioners. I'm talking about the legislature.
Yeah.
Jennifer Williamson, they're all screwing over women and children.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing.
They make it harder for children and women to enforce their rights. And you saw what happened to those staffers who came forward. They hired a woman who came in and lied to those women and said, you don't have any rights. You're not employees. That was a flat-out lie.
Wow. Wow, that's unbelievable. It really is like the mafia, you know. You have the rights that we tell you you have.
It's awful. And Oregonians are happy to be fed candy. We have all these PR stunts of Kate Brown having a day of silence, or Kate Brown is planting a pinwheel for abuse awareness, or Kate Brown is looking at a basket of onions. They don't care what's going on in reality until they're victimized.
Right. And in the meantime, yeah, the anti-gun legislation, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but it goes so far as to illegalize mace. So they don't want women being able to protect themselves at all.
Right.
Yeah. So
it's like,
okay.
It's a big chance. So I'm tired of all the pride, the girl power bullshit. I'm sorry. I'm clear on it.
Yeah, I'll beep it out. It's okay. I agree with you, and I'm restraining myself as well. So, let's circle back to the Secretary of State's office. It seems pretty obvious that they have no intention of carrying forward Dennis Richardson's vision and legacy for the office and their auditing in particular. Are they just going to abandon everything? I know that there's an audit of the PERS system that was on the docket. Is that just going to go away?
I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think Beth Ferno really cares about what Richardson was doing. I don't think she cares about your accountability, integrity. I think she cares about her new PERS being bumped up with this position and getting her son some job so that his PERS can be bumped up and paying back whoever she's made promises to.
I don't see
her with any desire to do anything good.
So she's there basically as Kate Brown's friend.
Yeah, and whoever else behind the scenes, I don't know. I don't know who she's helping out other than her kid.
Right, and I had completely forgotten about that issue with hiring her son. When I wrote the article, I spaced putting that in, but that's pretty obvious. Like the even Ellen Rosenblum had to tell her, "Yeah, that's not cool."
Well, she also told her how to get it done.
Oh, she did?
As long as someone lower down the totem pole hired, have a job there.
Oh, wow. So is he now employed in the office?
I don't know.
He will be. Yeah. Holy cow. That's insane. So really, your contention is that her intention with all of this is to bump up her own PERS because with a new higher salary, she's eligible for a higher ending salary in PERS and to arrange that for her son as well.
I think that's a big part of it, and I don't know who else she's made promises to. I don't know who else she owes money or favors to, but this is disgusting. And the fact that she went in and asked for the job on the day of Dennis' funeral.
Yeah, how tacky is that?
She has no integrity.
Yeah, that's pretty. I mean, you know, I'm a Republican. She's a Republican. I honor her service in the past as Speaker of the House. But my goodness, I mean, it couldn't have looked any worse.
Yeah, and I don't think she cared how it looked.
Right, that seems pretty obvious.
She never supported Dennis when he was. She never supported his campaign. She never donated to his campaign. She didn't help Dennis along the way, and here she is swooping in on the funeral, asking to take the job.
That's beyond tacky. So you've resigned, and you've made some pretty pointed statements on social media about the reasons you resigned, specifically charges of racism, charges of sexism, charges of cronyism. Expand on that a little bit. What's the reason that you're so disgusted with the way things have gone down?
So Larry Morgan was the only black person in a high-level position in the Secretary of State's office. Dennis Richardson recognized that he needed to branch out and learn more about other communities, about the black community, the Latino community, the LGBTQ community. And Larry was the guy who did that. He gave Dennis a spiritual advisor who was a gay woman. He took charge of diversity banquets and luncheons and speakers and producing the office to a whole different community and getting out the vote for those people. And for her to fire him now, That was rotten. And it stinks of racism.
So you kind of cut out there for a second. You said she fired him via email?
Yes, without ever meeting him, and it stinks of racism.
Oh, my God. That follows when Leslie Cummings and who are the other two? Names are drawing a blank here.
Deb Royal.
Deb Royal, and who was the third one?
Lee Belzinga.
Yeah. They were all fired by the HR department at 8:05 on a Monday morning and given no time to give a succession plan or a list of tasks for their positions to continue to function for their successors or anything like that.
Nope, she didn't care. Her big thing was getting them out and getting her son in. Yes.
What do you think the Secretary of State's office is going to look like going forward? I know a lot of people are worried about the remainder of this term, and obviously stated she's not going to run for re-election. It's up here for 20 and then redistricting after that. A lot of people are really concerned about that as well.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen going forward is the Secretary of State's office is going to look exactly like it did when Kate Brown was there and when Jean Atkins was there, which means basically nothing will happen. There won't be any audits. There won't be any accountability. It will just be kind of a sleepy agency hanging out. And I'm sure that what's going to happen next is at the appropriate time when it's too late for anyone else to step up, we're going to have her deputy, whoever political...
Say that again, you broke up. The deputy will...
be able to run as an incumbent. That deputy will take over.
And there's no guarantee that'll be a Republican or a Democrat, but it'll certainly be a crony, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we'll have, looks like 6 years of zero accountability.
Just like we have in the governor's office.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been a cheery and uplifting conversation. I have hope for the future now.
Yeah, I know.
This is crazy.
I wish I had hope.
Yeah, no, I mean, the fix is in. I mean, that's what I wrote last week, and it's getting more and more obvious.
Yeah, and the people that suffer are vulnerable.
That's right. It's especially the children, right? I mean, they get to continue living in a culture of abuse with nobody who's watching the watchers.
Yes.
Well, all right. Well, Kim Sordell, thank you so much for joining me on Behind the Curtain podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time to let me know what's up and giving me that scoop.
Great. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.